So in contrast to Avilas Chadosha, where the Rambam precludes one from engaging in excessive mourning, the Rambam writes, it's also quoted by other Rishonim as well, but the Rambam brings it in the Perek Gimel Hilchos Avilus, Al Yiskash Odom Avesa Yesi Midai, Shezel Minog Shel Odom. Rambam in Chumash in Parshas Re'eh, the Rambam comments on this in the context of a discussion on Hasharas HaNefesh, immortality of the soul. The Pasuk of Lois is going to do, Lois Hasim Korchim and Erechim Lameis. Bonim Atem Hashem Elokeichem. Lois is going to do, Lois Hasim Korchim and Erechim Lameis. Yam Kodesh Hato Al Hashem Elokecho. Bechob Bechar Hashem, Giyasul Yam Sgul, and Mikol Amin Hashem Apani Adoma. So there's no limitation and the amount of grief that a person has to experience, Dafka and Avelos Rishonah, Avelos Alechu Ben Amidosh. And therefore the Rambam here says, Chasidim HaRishonim, this was the midah of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chassidim HaRishonim. They would engage in various methodologies to demonstrate their grief. And the Navi Yirmiyahu, of course, he writes, as we read in last night in Eicha, "Bochay sirke balaylo b'dimasa alvecheya, enloch menachem mikolo aveo." That's the opposite of Avilas Chadosha. Avilas Chadosha, the Gemara says, "Shoshi yom lebechi." After the first 3 days. Are devoted, the first 3 days of Shiva are devoted to Bechi. It's a Gemara in Maikot. And similarly, Yirmiyahu recognizes there's a precedent for regarding the Churban, unabated Bechi, unabated wailing, as the Navi notes, Rachel Bivako al Baneo Me'ano Lehinochein. So that's the key of Mamitzvah, and that's the Navi Zechariah. Navi Zechariah was asked, Ha'efke b'chabod shachamishi. He didn't say, So this is one of the very fundamental chilukim between Avilas Hashanah and Avilas Chadosha. So let you explain the number of times that while Avilas Chadosha is ingrained in the natural order of things, Avilas Hashanah is governed in a different kind of way. Misa, death is inevitable and expected. Soy for Adam Lomus, as the Mishnah writes, the structure of the Beis Hamikdash, however, was not like that. That pure mishpat prevailed. The Beis Hamikdash would never have been destroyed by an empire as corrupt, as wicked as the Romans. It's true that nechatoeinu galinu miatzeinu, that we were over averus in the days of the second Beis Hamikdash. We deviated from what the Torah wants us to do, but our iniquities paled in comparison to the Umos HaOlam, to their complete and total moral degeneration. There's no limitation that's imposed on the intensity of grief which one may experience for the loss of the Beis Hamikdash. This is another very famous distinction between Avilas Chadosha and Avilas Hashanah. The Lashon of the Gemara at the end of Tainus, they say over from Chaim Valojina, a very famous understanding of this Gemara. Kol HaMisabel al Yushalayim Zeche B'Roya B'Simchasa. It should have said that the lashon, the syntax, actually should have been not the tense that's presently used, kol ha-misabel, the present tense, but rather one should perhaps have used that kol ha-misabel yushalayim yiskeh b'yireh b'simchasa, as opposed to zeicher, the lashon hoyveh. Why is the present tense used? So Chaim Volozhin answered in light of what we just discussed, that just as Yaakov Avinu, when Yosef was torn away from him, so the pasuk says, Torah Yosef. And the pasuk tells us, "Vayisabel al bino yamim rabim vayimoyin liisnaching." He was not able to be consoled. So too, Chazal say, as they say over there, "Mekabim tanchumim alachai." That someone who's living, in the case of Yosef, he was living. There's no kabbalas tanchumim. Generally, it's another halacha of kabbalas tanchumim. Many have a practice that when the menachem avel, when they say, "Avokim menachem estem tov shavel eshiv b'shaloyim," so the avel answers, "Amen." It's mentioned by Poskim. Kabbalah Tanchumen, and it's also found in Yalkut Shemayni and another midrashim as well, speaking about this idea. So in the Chazal, the Gemara tells us that the Shir Shikha for a mess is Yud Beis Chedesh. But all this is true regarding Avelos Chadosha, regarding the private Avelos of the Yochid, but regarding Avelos of the Chumen Amigdash, so we've been Avelos for several thousand years. Why? Because in the Kabbalim Tanchumen Malachai. As far as we are concerned, the Beis Amigdash, the way the Mishnah writes in Megillah, Mishnah Dash and the Possible Bashi Moses, Midushechem, Abhishashemim, Bigdushasan and Indim. The Dusha remains. And that's the Gemara, basically the going brings a right from the Sugim Ba'abasra, and the last daf of Chesed Tabatim. There the Gemara discusses the many, many Xeris and Chazal that people wanted to introduce after the Churban HaMikdash, but we have a principle, Ein Gezin Xeris HaTzibur, Elam Kein Roi HaTzibur Yechayim Lamod Bo. So everyone has to be able of the weathering, of handling, of countenancing, all these Xeris. Just read part of the Lashon, the Gemara over there. The Gemara thought that they would engage in all kinds of draconian Xeris, very far-reaching, very extended, in order to be Mesabla Yushalayim. In Cain, the Gemara says, we shouldn't eat lechem, we shouldn't eat peros, we shouldn't drink water, because all these are connected to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, the Gemara said there was going to be an absolute kind of Zera that would more or less interdict all of these items. So the Gemara says, Omar lahem. The response was, Bo v'omar lachem shaloli sabah kolika yevsha shekva nigzu agzera. Once the Xer of the Churban, as Rashi explains over there, Yishayadnu le'isabel, Yersiv, Sisu Yito, Masois, Kolam Yisabli Moleo, Novi Shayom. However, Yisabli Yosim Yidai, Yiyafsha, Shein Gozim Zebra Al Tzibur, El Kei Rav Asim, Yichayim Lamabba. So why should we continue to be Misabel? The answer is because, on the one hand, Kolam Yisabli Yosim Yidai is called a Tipesh. On the other hand, Yishayinu Misabel is an Achzori, is someone who's a cool person. But there has to be some middle ground, and that's the middle ground the Chazal were misaking. But the mashmos of the Gemara is that essentially the Avelos continues. There's a distinction here between Avelos Chadosha and Avelos Rishonah. In the case of Avelos Rishonah, which is historical Avelos of Churban HaMikdash, it's ongoing, Loshon Hoyveh, until we are Zeichem Yitz Hashem Bekorov to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the Merib Yameinu. So that's another distinction. I'm not now discussing the halachic distinction. That's mentioned by Tzitzis Yelamis and by the Poskim. But in terms of the fundamental distinction as far as the nature, one is Bechi and one is Avelos, that's the distinction between Avelos Chadosha and Avelos Rishonah. The first should point out something which is very striking. There's another distinction between Avelos Rishonah and Avelos Chadosha. Avelos Chadosha, we don't question Hashem Yisbarach's when the Rebbe Shem decides that someone's time has come and he's removed from this world, Sadiku Hashem, we say the bracha, Dayin Emes, Tzidik Adin, we are Masdi Dino Shakolik Baruch Hu, Hatsur Tomim Polo, Kichol Bracha Mishpat, Kel Emuna Vein Obel, Sadiq V'yoshehu, Shicheis Loi, Loi, Bona Bumam, Dor Ikeshub Salto. It's not Rebbe Shem is to be faulted, it's we are to be faulted. However, we see here, by Avel Shoshonah, on the contrary, we're obligated to ask questions, we're obligated to search for answers. The entire Megillas Eicha essentially is that. Eicha Yo'iv Be'apo, Hashem Chaymas Basio. Eicha Yoshua Badov, where the effect of Kasha, why did the Churban Abayis occur? Why did it take place? We're asking all kinds of Kashas on the Ribbono Shel Olam. Of course, the Navi himself provides the answer. Tzadiku Hashem Kifu Marisi. We're the ones who are clearly responsible, we're the ones clearly who are guilty, guilty as charged, but undoubtedly in order for Mashiach to come, in order for Mishabedish to be rebuilt, we have to do tshuva. And we see from this statement that I quoted first from the Rambam says, Kachu midas kolaom. But midas chasidim avishenim, the Rambam clearly distinguishes between ordinary Jews and chasidim avishonim, very pious Jews, great Talmidei Chachamim, that Avel Shoshana can only be appreciated by someone who understands the impact of the Churban HaMikdash. Someone who's able to assess what the nature of that loss was all about. The Beis HaMikdash was not simply a piece of beautiful architecture. It wasn't simply an architectural masterpiece. Certainly it was that as well. But it was a repository for the, a mind for the Shekhinah. It was a Mokim HaShuras HaShekhinah. Even though that's a subject of Machlokes HaRishonim, to the Rambam and all the other Rishonim, all the other Rishonim generally assume, where the Pasuk says that the Navi tells this to us many times in Tanakh, but it's really a Pasuk in Chumash, beginning at Truma, when the Torah mentions the obligation to build a Beis HaMikdash, Basul Limikdash, Veshachanti B'Soicham. The idea is that there should be a Mokav HaShuras HaShechinah. The Beis HaMikdash was primarily a repository for the presence of Hashem. So only Chassidim HaRishonim can properly assess the impact of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, the enormity of the Churban HaMikdash, so therefore they are more obligated to express their feelings, let's say, than the average person. Fascinating. The Mishnah Berurah here, the little Tisha B'Av quotes halacha, he quotes from the Ari HaKadosh. That every day, the Mishnah Berurah said during the Rai Vochim during the 3 weeks. At midday, Mishabura says one should be misabel over the Churban, and one should be bochem, one should shed tears for approximately a half hour. Lashon Mishabura that mentioned right here in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. And we know as well that Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Birkas Hamazon, another famous halacha. The Shulchan Aruch points out in Kuf Pei, the meaning of weekdays is to cover the noise before reciting Birkas Hamazon. Shabuah quotes the name of Rabbi Simcha, quotes the Beis Yosef. The name of Rabbi Simcha, it once happened that a person became so heartbroken and so depressed over the Churban HaMikdash while saying the bracha, he grabbed hold of a knife and he stabbed himself. And therefore, the meaning is to remove the knife from the table while benching. So Shabuah quotes in Hilchos Birkas Hamazon. Seems rather puzzling. Why do we have to remove our knives from the table? Because once upon a time, someone got carried away. What connection? Ma'in Yeshmita Sarsinai. What does this story have to do with us? So again, this shows that we're not in the same Madrega as the previous Doros. But clearly, as the Mechaber writes, I spoke about this last year, Roi Lecho Yerushalayim, Ye Meitzer B'doyeg Al HaChurban. That's the Mechaber writes, and Baruch Hashem, there are people, including in this Kehillah, who are Makbid Antikin Chatzais. I'm not one of them. But there are people who are makpin on tikkun chatzos, which is a very good thing, a wonderful thing. So when one sees tikkun chatzos and one sees about people who had tremendous nostalgia for Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, I think I mentioned a number of times that I used to be malavar Rav Nevinsol, Marenu HaGoyin Rav Nevinsol Shrita. After the shmooze that he gave one night a week, so I used to be malavar him. And for about an hour and a half, till about 12:30 at night, and for about 8 years I did it. And I saw that every single time after the shmooze, he would, when he was walking in the old city and would see the area outside the Mokam HaMikdash, he'd begin to cry uncontrollably. And this we see actually a number of times by Gdoli Olam, Gdoli Yisrael, who had this unbelievable connection to the Mokam HaMikdash. I saw actually from Rav Avraham Shmuel Binyamin Sefer, as a sefer called Zichron Moshe, is in the famous Mishpacha of Chassam Sefer. He tells a story about the Chassam Sefer. He heard the story from Rabbi Yisachayim Zunenfeld, who's the saintly Rabbi of Yerushalayim. He heard it from an eyewitness, namely Rav Moshe Novomesl, I believe his name was. He was a household member of the Chassam Sefer's Mishpacha. Now read you his Lashon. I'm translating it. It once happened on the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, the Chassam Sefer entered his study alone and he closed the door behind him. So he was curious to know what was the reason for this solitary kind of meditation, because he knew that his custom at Erev Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, he doesn't study halacha, he doesn't write tshuvas. So what exactly is going on? So he peeped through the keyhole, Meitzis Menacharakim, and his eyes beheld the wondrous sight. The holy tzaddik was mourning over the Churban HaBayis. Resting on his hand was a sefer, and in his hands he held the cup, and those tears flowing into the cup until the cup was full. When he later sat down to Sudam Mafsekes, which is the meal before the Tainis, he drank from that cup. And this is based on a pasuk in Tehillim Pei, that you made them drink tears in large measures. I don't know, today we have Tzom Kal. Someone last night was telling me about all the different methodologies that we have today in order to make the Tzom easier. But they don't necessarily bring a person to the kind of bechi of the Chassam Sefer of his era. Ram speaks about Chassidim HaRishonim, Rabbi Bar Eloi, here before the tightness, the Chassam Sefer drank his personal formula. Someone told me that I should have this electrolyte potion before the tightness to make the tightness easier. So he also had an electrolyte potion, Chassam Sefer. Bechi, tears, totally enveloped in Avodas HaKurban. And then we see actually this notion, especially among, as I said, Gdoli Olam. I met in my days that many Gdoli Olam here in Eretz Yisrael were very makbid on Dafka, this idea, this notion of Tikkun Chatzos and the like. And certainly those who are able to do so should certainly do so. I remember that when Hagoyim Rav Gusman Zatzal was Nifter, so one of the aspedim that was said at his Levaya, that was the following. Rav Bussman actually served as a dayan in the Vilna Bezdin, or the Chaim Bezdin Bezdin before World War II. And he enjoyed a very close relationship with the Gaon Ador. He was a very young man. And being close to Rav Chaim Bezdin brought him into contact with all the other Gdali Yisrael of that Kufa, the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal, and others. And in his latest years, he would remark the following. He said, he's really a Yosov, he's an orphan. But at least he still married knowing the others. He married it knowing the fathers, the great luminaries such as the Chafetz Chaim and Rav Chaim Bezdin. But he said to his Talmidim, your generation, said Rav Bussman to his post-war Talmidim, you're into the category mentioned in Eicha. Yisayim hayinu ve'inav. You don't even know who your spiritual fathers are. You don't even have that kind of background. So this was something that we have to try our best to go ahead and recognize this element and try to put together this kind of historical memory, which is not easy to do, in order to once again be able to engage in Bechi and recognize and appreciate the value of the Chuvan HaMikdash. Mr. Brewer quotes the halacha, even though I asked actually over the years, I've done a statistical study. Mr. Brewer says that one is supposed to say in benching during the week, Al Naro's bubble. So I asked over the course of the last 40 years, all my Talmidim, how many people say Al Naro's bubble? Very few. Why is that? What's the mocker? This is a pasuk in Tehillim in the Kuf Lamed Zayin. Al Naros Bavel, Shom Yoshavnu, Gam Bachinu, Mezuchinu Asiyo. And the Sfasemis says, we also wept, implies we're not the only ones who are weeping. Who else was crying? So the Sfasemis writes, based on the Medrash Chazal, famous Chazal, when Hashem first created the universe, there was no separation between the Mayim HaElyonim and the Mayim HaTachtonim. The upper waters and the lower waters, only on the second day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that there should be a separation. We should separate between the Mayim HaElyonim and the Mayim HaTachtonim. So Chazal, it's actually a Tikkun Nezoya, Rashi calls this in Vayikra as well, that the lower waters came crying to Hashem and said, now that there's a heaven, we lack that closeness to you, enjoyed by the Mayim HaElyonim, by the high waters. Hashem said, there will come a time when your salt is going to be used on Karbonos, I call Karboncha Takvim Melach. And your waters poured down on his back. When he said, Ramayim Matsukis, you'll regain that closeness, that kurva that you had to Hashem Yisbarach. So now, this says of Hasemes, now that Besamidus was destroyed, again, we lost that closeness with Hashem, and once again, started to cry, Al Naros Babel, Shom Yashavnu Gam Bachinu, Bezochenu Esiyo. So this is something which is essentially embedded in Avelus Yishona, that we are, on Tisha B'Av, that we are experiencing. One exam is the keynotes from an overall perspective. The keynotes basically have three components. Component number one are the piyutim of Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. Tosfos writes that could be he's made with one of the Tanoim. Big machlok is among those that are concerned about whom he was when he lived and whom he was. But Tosfos called such a daya one of the Gdolei HaTanoim. And these piyutim basically deal with the Churban HaMikdash. Secondly, we have the second component, which is the piyutim of the Chachmei Ashkenaz that deal with all the massacres and pogroms that occurred in the 12th century, 13th century, 14th century. And finally, the piyutim dealing with the beauty of Tzion before it was destroyed. That's based on the pasuk in Necha that we read last night. So I'll let you used to point this out. The pasuk is divided into two. Zochra Yerushalayim Yimei Onya Umrudeha Kol Machamudeha Shehoyu Lami Mekedeh. So first it says, Yimei Onya Umrudeh, speaks about the days of Oni. And that's how we begin the Kinos of Tisha B'Av. We remember Yimei Onya Umrudeh. But then the second segment, the second half of the Kinos is Kol Machamudeh, Shehoyu Lami Mekedem. Then we speak about the beauty of Yerushalayim, because in order to appreciate the lost fully, we have to understand what Yerushalayim was. Yerushalayim Tzion is considered to be Amokah Bayofen Sheba'olam. And the splendor of Yerushalayim is very much eloquently elaborated in those piyutim in order that we should be impelled to cry out at that loss. At the end, of course, then we say, Eli Tzion V'Yarecha, which is the conclusion of the kinos. And generally speaking, I believe the practice is to say, Eli Tzion V'Yarecha, not B'Yeshiva, but B'Amida. And the question is why? It marks the conclusion of the kinos. Maybe that's the reason why. In general, when we come to a segment that ends a particular kovetz, such as Ishtabach. We stand up for Ishtabach, Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim, as we mentioned, as Father Sharov told me, Ashkenazim are like yo-yos, up and down, they have no yatzivut. They have no stability. It's found in, they sit the entire davening. As Ishtid Ramah Perikteset Hasvila, and Ramah has the Pasuk, Ashrei Yeshev Yisecha, Shai Yeshiva Shom, Yiske HaMitzvah, Yishenema, Ashrei Yeshev Yisecha. The Ramah interpreted that Pasuk in a literal kind of way, that Yeshiva refers to physical Yeshiva, as opposed to what most Rishonim say, Ashrei Yeshev Yisecha, namely, happy are those who dwell in your home, Teshu Kein Taduru, the Gemara in Sukkah. That's what he refers to. But Ramah has, he has the same idea also on the Rosh discusses this in the fourth paragraph of Sukkah. It's also mentioned by the Rambam himself in the Hilchas Sukkah. The Rambam discusses why on Kiddush on Sukkah's night that Kiddush is done by Amidah, since we're going to make the bracha Leishem Asukkah, Leishem needs to sit, physically to sit. Therefore, it has to be by Amidah, the bracha is made. So here the kinos are said by Yeshiva, but when it comes to Eli Tzion B'Yareha, that kinos is said by Amidah. And the tune itself, which is his old Mestamas, the piyut itself, is employed on Shabbos Chazon, when we greet the Shabbos HaMalka with the Chadeidi. And the Muslim of Yom Tov, there also, when we say B'nei Beis Chotim Atchila, also a similar kind of nigud, which actually expresses the longing of a Jew for Mashiach Tzikeinu, when the Beis HaMidrash will be rebuilt. So again, we chant all these things in the same tune of Eli Tzion B'Yareha. And what's the content of Eli Tzion B'Yareha? So there, the content, one can see actually, Eli refers to mourning. And before that, we have, for example, one of the keynotes, we say, Ade Adchuk Shamayim. And then the next Lashon is, Aleph Aleph Lamed Hei. Osi Shamayim. Means, Aleph Aleph Lamed Hei is similar to Eli Tzion. Means we're mourning for Tzion, because even the heavens are going to mourn, are going to cry with grief. And so here we say this at the end of the keynotes, Eli Tzion V'Yareha, he will continue to mourn Tzion on an ongoing basis, I said earlier, till the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt the Meher B'Yameinu. As someone who understands the loss of the Magen HaMikdash, so he cannot simply discharge his duty by simply reciting keynotes, but he has to rather continue to mourn and cry. And the reason for that is the imperative is mentioned in the next pasuk, Kamo Isha B'Tzirah, a woman in the throes of childbirth. You can't command a woman in labor not to cry out in pain. The natural reaction in experiencing such intense pain, the pasuk be'etzav tel dibonim, is to cry out, to shriek. That's inevitable, it's uncontrollable. Similarly, we cannot stop mourning for Yerushalayim till the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt in Meher B'Yameinu. As long as Yerushalayim is under the dominion of foreigners, oru ara yisaydba, under the control of Eri Avodah Zarah, we can't stop crying. Eli Tzion, our crying is uncontrollable. Kamo Isha B'Tzirel, to tell us to stop crying is as futile as silencing a woman in labor or silencing a newlywed from grieving over her groom. Kipsulach al-gurasak al-baal nurel. So a person who silences these two individuals is a cruel person, is an insensitive person. That's the halacha of Avelus Yishona as opposed to Avelus Chadosha. The other halachic consequences as well, which are also quite significant. Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara in Tanya Daf Chav Tes, quotes Rabbi Yechanan, he expresses the opinion that Tishuvah should have been established on the Yud Ba'ab. The Beis HaMikdash was primarily destroyed on that day. I saw the Ar Sameach, actually, he writes in Hilchos Taniyos, that he explained the Chazal established Tishuvah on the ninth day of Av, because as soon as the Beis HaMikdash was ignited on the ninth day, it lost its Kedusha. It's totally on the Sugya in Babel Zorah, Achonis the Balawan Ramban, Ubova Pritzah V'Chilulah. So based on that Sugya, that's what the Ar Sameach explains over there. But Rabbi Yochanan says that really, we should have established Tisha B'Av on the 10th day, because the Sreifa was still taking place on that day. Because Yushalmi points out, Yushalmi says, Beferish, that certain Amorim observed Tisha B'Av on both the 9th and 10th day of Tisha B'Av. And the Shaila, of course, is in Halacha. Why is that a problem of Baltesif? Why is that not Asur? Because the Gemara says, Ayosha Bishmina Besukha Leike. How can you go ahead and add to Isra Baltesif? How can these Amorim observe 2 days of Tisha B'Av? And the Gemara also records, the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara points out, there were Amorim who lived in the Golat, they live in diaspora, it was not Ariyah. When the Sanhedrin established each month separately based on the ages of two witnesses, they observed Yom Kippur for 2 days. But they were not sure, they had a suffix, which of the 2 days was established as the 10th day of Tishrei. That's not a violation of Baltesim because they didn't intend to observe Yom Kippur on each of the 2 days. They had a suffix. And because of the suffix, therefore, they were going to observe Yom Kippur on the proper day. They just weren't sure which day is the proper day. So therefore, they observed both days. But that would not apply in this situation. The Amoraim here observed Tisha B'Av for 2 days, not because they were besafek which is the proper day. They felt both days should be commemorated. The 9th of Av should be observed because the Gemara says, Aschalda the Kuranusa Adifa. The Gemara said that the commencement of destruction is more severe than the actual destruction. And what about the 10th day of Av? That should be observed because Ikro Shalheikho Bodhisra, because the primary destruction occurred Dafka on the 10th of Av, on Yud Ba'av. So the Ramban asks his kasha, and the Ramban says it's not Baltesim. Ramban writes, Midas Chasidusu. Pasha the Ramban. It's a Midah of Chasidus, which is Shekola Mesabel, and Yushalayim, Zeichel Roy Besimchos. So the Gemara that I quoted earlier, that this is part of the Avelus of Yushalayim. In other words, there's no Isra of Baltesim on Tisha B'Av. There's no Isra against excessive mourning for the Churban HaMikdash, as I described earlier. The Isra of Osul Isabel, Amos, and Yesim Midai doesn't apply to Churban HaMikdash. There's another distinction between Avelus Chadosha and Avelus Rishonah. If a person feels that he didn't sufficiently mourn the Churban HaMikdash, he can establish an additional tightness, an additional fast day. It would not violate Baltesim. If I did this on Yom Kippur, Sukkot, it would be an Isra of Baltesim. Kal Yoshev Bishmini B'Sukkot Loike. But it doesn't have applicability to the Churban HaMikdash. There's no maximum period for the Avelus of Yerushalayim. The more cries one is able to express, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears, the more one mourns, it's concerned with the Kura Chubra, the greater the Schar Mitzvah, and that's the nature of Avelus Yerushalayim. By the way, Mishnah could say the same Svarah regarding Talmud Torah, that regarding Talmud Torah, Eilu Dvarim Shein Lehem Shir. There's no Shir for the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is a Mitzvah that is ongoing. There's no maximum amount of time. On the contrary, the more one learns, the greater the schar for every single word that a person actually the going had to be agur giving him a second pay. As the going points this out, and the same applies to tefillah. When it comes to davening as well, there's no limitation. It's discussed by the Rif actually in Masechet Brachos, even though the Rif seemingly does not agree. He tightens that the injunction about Tzeisah would preclude the recital of an additional tefillah of the Shem Chayva, because that would be like offering two tzmidim. And you can't offer two tzmidim in the morning. It's only a Tamash Shashar, a Tamash Shavir Abayim, a Shal of Baltesim. But certainly regarding Talmud Torah, there's no Isra of Baltesim whatsoever, and the more one learns, the better off it is. In short, Avelus Yerushalayim is an endless kind of gesture. And after all the kinos are recited, and all the bechi, all the tears, we still say, Eli Tzion Yorel. That is to say, no matter how much we cry over Yerushalayim, no matter how much we're concerned about the Churban, no matter how much we express our grief over the bleakness, over the tragedy of our loss, we remain inconsolable. We cannot adequately express our mourning and grief for this devastating loss. And that's why the same niggin is used for B'nei Beischo Kevat Filo. Waiting for Yerushalayim to be rebuilt, waiting for Mashiach, there's no limit. And imam mi b'vias ha-Mashiach, the apa b'shis mamer, achakalo b'chol yom sheyobo. We'll never be satisfied till the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. Whatever the motif of the Beis HaMikdash is mentioned, whenever it's mentioned, whenever we want to express our gaguin, the benkshaft, as you would say in Yiddish, the longing, the waiting for its rebuilding, then we employ the tune of Eli Tzion V'Yorel. And Mishnah, the same applies as well to Shabbos Chazayin that we just had on Friday night, sung to the words of Boi V'Sholom Ateres Baila, that refers to Bidin HaMikdash. So all that is a common theme, a common thread. And there's no question that this element of Eli Tzion V'Yorel is embedded into the Yom Tov of Tisha B'Av. And Yom Tov, of course, Tisha B'Av is a Yom Tov. Kor Alay Moyed Lishmor Bachuroi. However you interpret the term Bayit, that itself is the subject of a lot of discussion among the Rishonim. But as I mentioned, that Tisha B'Av essentially has in it this element of Avelus Yeshana, and there's what to discuss as well regarding Avelos Yeshana in terms of Halacha, but I'm not now speaking of Halacha, I'm just talking in terms of the distinction between Avelos Chadasha and Avelos Yeshana. There's another one other element that I wanted to mention here as well in terms of the specifics of this particular day, and that is, of course, Kayadua, that the day has to end with Nechama. The mitzvah of Nichum Avelim is not exclusively related to Avelos Chadasha, I mentioned earlier about Kabbalah Stachumen, but the mitzvah of Nechama also applies to Tisha B'Av. And Nechama is a key in Avelos. And besides the fact that Nechama Mistama is a key in a mitzvah of Apostle Chumash Rasisa, Hayoshev Atev, Rabban Barichos. A number of times discussing this Rasisa Hayoshev Atev. I also heard from my Rebbe Agoin Rasidno Keratapkis, that's out on this pasuk for another occasion. But whatever the case is, it's clear that it's not simply a mitzvah like Bikur Cholim, but it's an integral part of Avelos is the element of Nechama. It shows that one has covered a mess, covered a chayim. The Gemara has a discussion inside Edit, the Gemara discusses over there whether the whole idea of Kavura is equal to chayim, equal to mesa. But here, there's no question Nechama is built into the very fabric of what Avelos is all about. Someone who does not give Nechama, someone who's not Menachem, and an Ovel that doesn't receive Nechama has not discharged the possible and probable and correct Mahalach of Avelos. The key of Mitzvah of Avelos is not complete unless accompanied by words of Nechama. The best Rai, of course, is the famous Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Kufnun Beis, where the Gemara discusses the din of Chas V'Shalom, a person dies without relatives. So the Gemara has a very fascinating din that 10 members of the Kehila have to gather in his home and observe Shiva as if they were his relatives. And moreover, other members of the community are required to visit and comfort them by relating to them. Avelos and this concept of Nechama is not simply, if you will, words of comfort and solid. It's part of Kavod Abrius. It's built in the very fabric of Avelos. And even if a person has no krovim to mourn him and accept Tanchumim, the mitzvah of Kavod Abrius demands that he be mourned by his community. There are many, many tshuvas about this topic. Rabbi Shafai sings that tzal, and many other posts can talk about Nichum Abelim, where it's not done in a direct kind of way. And this is one of the riots they bring, that even though the Abel is, as I said, a person who died without relatives, they're no Abelim. They're no Abelim. What's the nature of the Chama? What's the nature of this kind of Tanchumim? The answer is no. That even a person dies without leaving any mourners, any relatives, but Tzelem Elokim was snuffed out, and therefore there's a need for Tanchumim, is the din that's the halachas that are chalal Rabbi Sovel. And just as Avelos Chadasha without Nechama is defective, Tisha B'Av will be incomplete as well without Nechama. Nechama is built into the very architecture of the day. And it's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch required the recitation of the paragraph of Nachem Hashem Elokeinu. There are the Rishonim who actually held the halacha. This is quoted by the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber says that Nachem Hashem Elokeinu is built in the very fabric of the day, similar to Meshitas HaBal Amor. The Baal Amor Rosh Hashanah writes that Malchus Zechanes and Shagres have to be recited in all the tefillos, not just Musaf. Our practice is only to recite Malchus Zechanes and Shagres in Musaf, but really it becomes part of the Matbea Shel Yoim, and the same thing applies to Nachem. Nachem is in the Matbea Shel Yoim, and there are Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch says it. Shulchan Aruch writes very clearly La Halacha in Tov Kuf Nun Zayin Sif Aleph. Chaber writes that should be done in all the tefillos, but that's not our practice. The Rambam, he right away is mitzamtze. He limits the recitation of Nachim Davka to Mincha. And I imagine the reason is, and that's what he explains, that Kinos have recited till Mincha, and you have the sense of Mesamut of the father Baninus, and Onen cannot receive comfort, and Onen cannot go ahead and receive the Chama. So let's used to point out all the time another very fascinating element of Tisha B'Av, that the Kriya Satera, generally that's read in other Taniyos, Kayadua, consists of Yud Gimel Midos Sharachamim. Essentially, what is Yud Gimel Midos Sharachamim? It's a summons to engage in tshuva. However, the Kriya Satera, Tisha B'Av morning, is unlike the Kriya Satera of all the other Taniyos. Firstly, unlike the other Taniyos, it's followed by Haftarah. Secondly, that Kriya Satera consists either of, the Gemara has in Masechet Megillah, this discussion. We are no way to lane as we did a few moments ago, Pashas Moeschanan. He said that Banim of Bnei Banim, but I shan't have Oretz. The other possibility is to lane The brachas of klolos are parshas b'chukosai. Tisha B'av was always sandwiched between parshas dvarim and parshas v'eschanim. The story of the meraglim, which details the origin of Tisha B'av, vayikru on balayla hu, is related in parshas dvarim that we just read yesterday. The Gemara has a chazal had this rather very fascinating formula of tsumu tzlu that Chazal speaking about Tisha B'av is also immediately followed by parshas v'eschanim that contains the inyan of the yoma of Tisha B'av, namely, will be punished with golos. The dreaded punishment of golos if we violate the laws of the Torah. That's what we mentioned also over here. Beifis Hashem Eschem Bo'amin. Golos is one of the most dreaded punishments. That's all Meshi used to explain in the whole tumult regarding Acharei Meskadeshim, what Haftarah should be read, which is the subject of a lot of discussion, also based on the Sugya in Megillah. What Mandiyama says in Haftarah, but to Eves Yushalayim, there was a minute to read from the Navi Yecheskel, Ir Adomin, where Yushalayim is censured, Yushalayim is lambasted, Yushalayim is taken to task for the Gibel Averis, Gibel Arayim, Shechazam, Abelazah. And that position was rejected, was essentially totally and completely abandoned. And in a similar fashion, what we used to lay, Chazal, the Gemara Megillah speaks about it, that was also abandoned. We decided to lay on Tisha B'av morning, but we just read the Pasha in Veschan. As opposed to reading about brachos and klolos, as opposed to reading about chatoyim, and as I said, bizman ha-mishnah, it's very clear from the sugya, the story of the meraglim in Pashas Dvarim, where the brachos and klolos were read on Tisha B'av, and this practice was discontinued, and then the decision was made to go ahead and read, as I said, from the Pasha of Eschanan, he said the bottom of Bnei Bonim, Bnei Shanta Baretz. Why was there a change that was introduced? So apparently, here you see in Kisay the bottom of Bnei Bonim a different kind of theme. Namely, here you have a theme of the Chama, a theme of the comforting hope and the commitment of Tshuva. Hashem promises eventually, Batsar Lechom, Tsa'ucho, Kaladro, Me'ele, Be'achavis Hayamim, Bishabto, Hashem, Alotecha, Beshamata, Bekailo. This is the ultimate haftacha that all Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. No matter how alienated, no matter how unobservant, no matter how disinterested, Jews will become. Hashem will give us assistance and encourage us to do tshuva. And that's the pasuk that I just read. The gula will result from the tshuva imposed on us by Hashem is brought. That's the haftacha. Batzar lecha umtza'ucha v'shabto al Hashem alokecha. The word v'shabto is not an invitation to do tshuva. It means we'll be compelled to do tshuva. V'shavta al Hashem alekecha. As the Gemara said, the famous Gemara, the Sugya in Sanhedrin, in Chelet, the Gemara says, Mein Yisrael, Oysin tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'amid aleihem melech, Shegzeiraisam koshes ka'aman, V'Yisrael oysin tshuva. That's Lashon Chazal, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So we have no choice, Ma'adosh Gemara, regarding this matter. But as I said, the Kriyas HaTorah that's read in the morning of Tisha B'Av relates not so much to the tiny feature of Tisha B'Av as to the abeilus component of Tisha B'Av. It warns Klal Yisrael that if we will sin chas v'shalom, the consequence will be ve'evitz Hashem eschem b'chol ha'amim, which gives rise to abeilus. And we don't see here in the tefillos as well of the morning of Tisha B'Av any reference to the idea of tzom. As a matter of fact, there are many achrenim that abolish the recitation of Aneinu during the Chazar Sashas of Shachris on Tisha B'Av. That's a whole discussion. But that was basically Tisha B'Av morning cannot be classified as a time to Sibur. The morning of Tisha B'Av is essentially more in the gather of Avelos. Sosam Tfilosi, what the Navi says, that our Tfilos are not going to be accepted by Hashem Yisbarach. And that's the subject of a fair number of Kinos that we're going to read. The hallmark of time to Sibur is, what is the idea of a time to Sibur? The idea of a Tanis Dibur is that by Echal Meshes, by Hashem Elokav, that he should accept Atfilos. Our prayers and supplication should be accepted. Kabbalas Atfilos. And that goal cannot be attained on Tisha B'Av. So therefore, the entire Tfilah is structured around the Avelos aspect, not the Tanis component. Aneinu and Slichos, that are obviously contrary to this Klola of Sosam Tfilosi, Aneinu and Slichos are omitted. And the Kriyas HaTorah was altered to reflect this concept of Avelos as well. That's what one sees on Tisha B'Av. And in general, as I mentioned, Sosam Tfilosi, that the Avelos components are stressed here, as opposed to what we normally do on a regular Tainus. And as well, the other element, which also is very embedded in a Tainus generally, is Vidui. Vidui, as we know, consists of Akar Sachet, Akar Sachet Kapora, the Gemara derives in Yuma from the Kohen Gadol, And we don't say it on the morning of Tisha B'Av. It's a day of Sasam Tzilasi. We do him, and that's it. We do him Akras Achet, eliminated. And again, the Gemara has in Kedushin, Gemara Darshan says, Abedrish, that my Yisrael in Adam Choy, Gevra Al Chator, that reflects the acceptance of Tshuva. Hazal wanted Eicha to be read by listening to Eicha. Maybe there's a Kim Bidui, but there's no explicit mention, neither Bidui nor Anenu. The Anenu is mentioned only by Shiat Sibur. But Slicha, none of that appears because of Sasam Tfilasi. And in general, this needs a lot more investigation, but we're not going to do it right now. So here we have on Tisha B'Av the idea of Avelos that really comes to the fore. I'll just mention another interesting halacha. The Gemara actually has in the Megillah Daf Kaf Gimel, the Gemara says over here that in general, one who reads the Torah from the Vim, you have to first have a Kriya from the Torah, because that's Kavod HaTorah. In order to have proper respect for the Torah, and that's called Maftir. The Rishonim point out, they say, it's discussed in the Simon Reish Pei Beis, the Kaddish is said prior to the reading of the Torah by Maftir, whenever you have the requisite number of Kruin that already read from the Torah. And Maftir ain't no Eila the Binyan HaKruin. It's not one of the Kruin, it's like an extraneous Kruin, and therefore you say Kaddish prior to his reading of the Torah. On the other hand, whenever you read a Sefer Torah, and the Maftir is included among the required Kruin, where the Maftir is over the Minyan HaKruin, you don't say Kaddish Bechlal. You can't say Kaddish prior to the Maftir, because that would disrupt the link between the Maftir and the prior Kruin. Because collectively, that comprises the required Kruin. So it can't be recited after the Maftir reads from the Torah, prior to his recital of the Haftarah, because that would sever the bond between the Maftir and the Haftarah. That would run counter to Chazal's stipulation that the Haftarah should be preceded by a Kriyas HaTorah. So on Tisha B'Av, we have three Kruin. The third Kari is the Maftir, who also reads the Haftarah. And that's why there's a very famous comment of Kivega, that he rules that Kaddish should not be said prior to the Maftir, because saying the Kaddish would sever the link between the Maftir and that of the other two Kruin. Kaddish cannot be recited after the Maftir reads from the Torah prior to the Haftarah, because the Haftarah has to be immediately preceded by a Kriyas HaTorah. And the same thing applies Maftir on the Mincha of Yom Kippur and any other Titus. It's interesting that Soloveitchik used to speak about this, that on Shabbos Mincha, you'll notice, I'm sure you will notice, we don't say Kaddish after Kriyas HaTorah, which is the norm. Normally Kaddish is said after Kriyas HaTorah. We don't do so on Mincha of Shabbos for a different reason. The Kaddish that said prior to Shemoneh Esrei retroactively applies to the Kriyas HaTorah as well. So Soloveitchik thought that since the Sefer Torah is returned immediately after Kriyas HaTorah, there's a very short interval between the Kriya and the Shemoneh Esrei, that Kaddish can apply both to the Kriya which precedes the Kaddish and to the Shemoneh Esrei that follows the Kaddish. In general, this is a big machlokes discussed by the Shari Ephraim on the Kriyas HaTorah, what the nature of the Chatzi Kaddish, let's say on Shabbos morning before Musaf, is that a Chatzi Kaddish on the going on the Shemoneh Esrei that we're going to say the Musaf, or is the Chatzi Kaddish on the Drosha of the Rav? On the Drosha of the Rav sometimes, but is that the Chatzi Kaddish? And the big machlok is among the Rishonim. The minute of Chabad, if I'm not mistaken, is that the Shiach Sibur says the Kaddish immediately after the Hagbah, but prolongs the Kaddish. That's what I saw once. So that it concludes only after the Sefer Torah is replaced in the Aron Kodesh. So thereby, the Kaddish is related both to the Kriya and to the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, this is a whole very fascinating discussion regarding this matter, but certainly the idea of Tisha B'Av. And here we have an opportunity to engage in Bechi, to engage in Avelos, to try to remember the Churban HaMikdash, that which we had, which was so astounding, and so the magnificence of the Mokom HaMikdash was beyond our ability to appreciate. And Tisha B'Av was the day where we somehow, through Avelos Hashanah for the Mikdash, then we're able to somehow bring to fore what the Navi says in Zechariah that I mentioned earlier. And certainly it's praiseworthy to Dafka to mourn over the Churban HaMikdash, as I mentioned at the very beginning, even though in general, someone who grieves excessively, so Rahman al-Hassan, that's not a good thing, but certainly with reference to Avelos Hashanah, there's no limitation, and that kind of Avelos, and that's what we're doing in Yes Hashem today in the course of the Kinos, and then hopefully the Yes Hashem is Barak, the Baruch Shalom will provide us with the Chomah, Al-Rabbi should be Zeichem, that Menachem Meshiv Nafshi, Moshiach Zikeinu, who can, in effect, born on Tisha B'Av, will come, Yes Hashem, and give Menachem us, with Bias Gold Tzedek, Rabbi Yomeinu, Amen, Yomeinu.